Hello, everyone. This is Jodeci Maldonado. Hello, everyone, and this is Jodeci Nightshade, and this is Night Owl's Late Night Podcast. And today's episode is going to be called Dyslexia, the Dormant Deity. So, if you've gathered from the title, tonight's episode is going to be a little different. We're going to talk about mental health issues, particularly dyslexia, because a friend of mine is doing a new podcast called Epiphany, The Art of Clarity, all about mental health and mental health issues, and I thought we'd branch out a little bit on these podcasts and get that done. So today I'm going to talk about some research that I did and a story of mine from my years in school about the subject, and here we go. So get your ears ready to listen. I was watching several TED Talks on dyslexia and quickly learned that the disease was not just about mixing up letters. There had been in my time in school one dyslexic kid who happened to be my best friend. I remember we were sitting in Spanish class, and at the time I did not know that she had dyslexia. As we were reading a text in Spanish, she was struggling, and me, with the best of intentions, tried to help. And realizing that I couldn't, because it wasn't just about mixing up letters, quote-unquote, like a lot of people assumed. Her brain worked differently than 80% of the population. The phonetic processor in the brain, normally located in the left hemisphere of the brain, was the problem. She did not know how to decipher the Spanish words the way she still struggled to do in English, but had a better chance with that, having been fluent in the language. She was also a musician, and in this she found much joy and flourished. And she also, I would later learn, liked to bake. These, though I did not know it then, were some of the vocations that are best suited to people who are dyslexic. These vocations are the arts, engineering, architecture, and entrepreneurship. And this, combined with kinesthetic learning, the wheelhouse of dyslexia, allowed them to prosper. If in another country, particularly in the UK, I would hope that my friend would go to Millfield, the first school of its kind, founded in 1935, and was the first school to work well with dyslexic individuals. Why, might you ask, is this? It is because the founder of the school, Jack Meyer, came from India with seven boys, six of which were princes, and one boy was not passing the entrance exams to the top schools. Despite the fact that Myers knew this boy was just as smart as the others. So leaving the UK like India and went to the United States after doing some research in what was then just starting to be called dyslexia, he went to the best schools like Cambridge and had a team of teachers trained in the methodology behind teaching students with dyslexia and brought them back to the UK with the conviction to create Millfield, a place that took on the duffers of the other top schools and turned them around. This place, had we not been born in the UK, had we been born in the UK, would be the place that my friend would have needed to be. It is where I hope she'd have been. But in today's day and age, or rather the day of then, Co-op High School, a school devoted to the arts, was well enough. Another story, this one not my own, but that I had heard in a TED talk that I was looking at, entitled The Gift of the Dyslexic Mind by Dean Brogener, TEDx Martha's Vineyard, was that a little 8th grader was the representative for the kids who went to the dyslexic school and was in front of a panel of people with all kinds of credentials and were debating how best to teach these kinds of students. And they were saying that we needed to teach them emotional intelligence and time management, essentially. Then this little 8th grader showed the prototype for a shoe that charged his phone while walking. And everyone in the room exclaimed with compliments and awe. He was empowered. And if we could harness these strengths of the dyslexic mind in our school systems, then embed all this emotional intelligence and time management, then we would have a person who was hungry to learn and would not feel stupid ever again, as my best friend from middle school felt. So please, when you look at or interact with someone who is dyslexic, think not of the difficulties they have, but instead of the dormant deity within. So thank you, everyone, for listening. My lovely, lovely listeners, thank you. That was all for tonight. Have a good night.